Hello. Thank you for that introduction. Again, I'm Shannon Plunkett, and I am presenting on behalf of my co-authors listed here. Our research evaluating the ability of traditional soil testing methods to estimate lead bioaccessibility. So Anna opened this up for us. Lead is a powerful neurotoxin and is associated with compromised cognitive function even at really low blood lead levels. The new threshold of elevated blood lead, they use different words, but the new threshold is 5 micrograms per deciliter lead in blood. And yet even below that threshold, you see increased incidence of ADHD, behavior problems, decreased cognitive performance in general. And there's a strong relationship between soil lead and blood lead. This is a figure from Zoran et al. In 2011 showing areas of high lead contaminated soils, and mapped on top is blood lead, and you can see that they are really tightly linked. Soil is a major pathway of lead exposure. Soil lead remediation increasingly revolves around altering lead bioavailability, or the amount of lead that's able to be absorbed into your bloodstream. This typically is done via application of some phosphorus-bearing compound to ideally form a lead phosphate, a really recalcitrant lead compound. And then the way that you would know if this worked, if this in situ treatment worked, is using a treatment effect ratio. And how you calculate a treatment effect ratio is the bioaccessible lead post-treatment divided by bioaccessible lead pre-treatment. So it's important to have some way to figure out TER in order to know, did your treatment work? However, methods to detect lead bioavailability are highly inaccessible. Therefore, the objective of this research is to evaluate the ability of common, inexpensive soil tests to estimate bioaccessible lead. In order to do that, we needed to first establish a gold standard. What are we comparing these routine soil tests to? There are lots of different in vitro bioaccessible assays that are used by different countries and their governments, but the US EPA uses EPA Method 1340, which Anna detailed briefly. It simulates a stomach. It requires some expensive, complicated equipment, as do many of the other IVBA assays. A study by Uaz et al. In 2016 compared 5 of the common IVBA in vitro bioaccessibility assays for their correlation to mouse bioavailable lead. And despite no shortage of literature that is highlighting the shortcomings of EPA method 1340, this method outperformed all of the other assays analyzed. And so off of this, we selected EPA method 1340 as being our gold standard. To select a routine soil test that's able to correlate to EPA method 1340, we wanted to have a soil test that could be correlated across a range of soil lead bioavailability. So to do that, we created a soil with a range of lead bioavailability. We spiked a silt loam soil with lead nitrate solution and then added an incremental amount of phosphorus, or a range of phosphorus amendments. So we had lead phosphorus to lead ratios of no phosphorus and then a 1, 2, 5, 10, and 25 to 1 ratio. And here are our results. So on the y-axis, we have extractable lead. And on the x-axis, we have additions of phosphorus. So the EPA method, 1340, is this top blue line. And then we looked at 4 routine phosphorus tests. The rationale behind using a phosphorus test is that they're designed to measure plant available phosphorus, and so will not be dissolving highly recalcitrant phosphorus compounds. And given that lead phosphates are also highly recalcitrant, the idea is that, okay, well, maybe these tests won't dissolve those either. And we also then looked at DTPA, which is used to analyze plant bioavailability of heavy metals. So it seemed like a logical solution. And the results show that the Malic 3 extractable lead best approximates EPA method, Malic 3 being the orange line here, out of all of the others studied. Looking then at treatment effect ratio, the Malic 3 clearly is the best approximates EPA method 1340, as seen by the lines basically lying on top of each other. The other methods fail in that they are too, outside of the Malic 1, the other methods fail in that they are too sensitive to phosphorus addition. Upon adding a little bit of phosphorus, the extractable phosphorus with these methods drops down really low as compared to method 1340. So this provides kind of circumstantial evidence that maybe the Malic 3 can be an appropriate surrogate for a bioavailable lead. But in order to actually determine that, you need in vivo data. So we collaborated with two research groups out of Australia, Ravi Naidu's group at the University of Newcastle, and Albert Uaz's group at the University of South Australia. The Naidu group had a swine feeding trial where they fed 78 swine lead acetate spiked soils. And the Uaz group had a mouse feeding trial where they fed mice smelter and non-ferrous slag contaminated soils and also looked at the impact of phosphoric acid and rock phosphate. And so here are some of our results. This first slide is from Ravi Naidu's group, the in vivo swine results. And we see that, so on the y-axis we have in vitro bioaccessible lead, x-axis is in vivo bioavailable lead, so the X is pig, and then the Y is 1340 or Malic 3. And you see that the Malic 3 is sensitive to bioavailable lead. You have a linear line, but it's not particularly accurate. When 1340 is saying that there's 0% bioaccessible lead, in vivo data says that it could be up to 30% bioaccessible lead. That's a pretty big range and not ideal. But it is outperforming the Malic 3 in this case, where the Malic 3 appears neither sensitive nor accurate to bioavailable lead. Moving then to the mouse data, we see that, so again, the EPA is in orange, Malic 3 is in blue, and that neither the EPA method nor the Malic 3 is particularly sensitive to bioavailable lead. When you throw a regression line through them, the EPA method has an R-squared of about 0.6, and Malic 3 is about 0.5. So the EPA method is somewhat more accurate, but neither of them have particularly compelling relationships. Moving then to treatment effect ratio, we see The blue bars here are from the mouse study. So it's not a soil test. We're looking at the amount of lead that's absorbed by the mouse, and you figure that out by looking at blood lead. So blue bars are from the mice, orange bars are Malic 3, and beige bars are the 1340. And the first thing that jumps out is that neither the Malic 3 nor 1340 are consistently correlated or have a consistent relationship with the treatment effect ratio seen in bioavailable testing. For three of the soils, it seems that the Malic 3 and 1340 have about a treatment ratio about twice as large, but in the last one, it's more of a one-to-one relationship. That same two-to-one doesn't hold up. However, when you look at the relationship between the Malic 3 and 1340, they do appear to have a consistent relationship where they have similar treatment effect ratios within 20% of one another for all four soils. Now, the EPA method isn't perfect. We can see that here. It's not consistently predicting treatment effect ratio for bioavailable lead. And yet, evidently, it's the best that we have. it outperformed all of the other in vitro bioaccessible assays. And we have this Malix 3, a $12 test accessible at your local soil testing lab that's able to predict treatment effect ratio as well, or in reality, as poorly, as method 1340 for a fraction of the cost. So if you're interested in looking at your treatment effect ratio, the Malix 3 is a really inexpensive way to do that. So a way that you might apply this is, say you're a Milwaukee homeowner, you test your soil and you see it comes back that you have 2,000 ppm lead. A recommendation you would likely get is to add some phosphorus-containing compound. So what one might do is sample your soil, send that off for Malix 3 analysis, amend it, and then come back 2-3 months later, resample, and send that off for analysis. By dividing your post-amendment values by your pre-amendment values, you can get your treatment response ratio. So if these were our numbers, you would see a 36% reduction in bioaccessible lead. Now, this isn't perfect. We again just saw that sometimes the treatment effect ratio was twice the size that actually happened for bioavailable lead when measured with Malix 3 and 1340. However, you can be confident that this 36% reduction that's measured is it's correlated to the best measurement we currently have, and in that is valuable. To conclude then, we haven't nailed down how to measure lead bioaccessibility. It's a tricky topic, and an IVBA assay that is effective for all lead sources in all types of soils does not yet exist. Additional in vivo research is necessary to improve lead bioaccessibility detection. Second, at the added cost and logistical obstacles required for the general public to test lead-contaminated soil using the EPA method does not translate to more accurate results when compared to the Malix 3. And finally, that the Malix 3 is as effective or ineffective as EPA method 1340 at gauging change in lead bioavailability after phosphorus amendment to soils. And you can access it for $12 and the cost of a Ziploc bag. Thank you. I'll take any questions. Yeah.
Well, I know that in vivo data is very disappointing, but as expected, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's Nick Bassett from our state, they had a paper a few years ago, came out with a no-glycine solution, they seem to be working better. Oh, they say it's better, right? And a certain employee made it.
Yeah. I think what's challenging is that we're coming up with in vitro assays that are correlated to one species. So actually the data looked okay when we used a non-phosphorus amended soil with swine. It worked in that, but that didn't translate to mice, and we don't know how that translates to people. So in reality, we probably need to be exploring some human in vivo research, although that might be hard to fund.
So one of the things that I suggest to people is that when you do the Malix 3 test, you look at the phosphate value too. If it's low, you have more confidence in your value. And if it's high, then you probably have less confidence. Maybe that's the way to go.
So you're saying I guess I'm not understanding your rationale of how the phosphorus...
Because the phosphate seems to be the troublemaker in all the confidence in these bioaccessibility values.
In your tool, not only is lead, but also the phosphorus.
Anyway,
yeah, interesting idea.
Yeah, just building on that, I just wanted to say there's a lot of alkaline soils in West Texas and Arizona area that are lead affected also.
Sure.
Do you think Mavic would work in those? We usually use Olsen
fields. Olsen. So the reason why Malic is more compelling than some of its other competitors or other PE, because it can work on a wider range. In reality, I'm not familiar with exactly what those bounds are, how high pH Malic 3 can work on, but I was under the impression that it can work on alkaline soils, although it might not be as accurate as Olson. And so if that were true, I wouldn't see a reason why not.
What's the temporal effect of phosphate addition to form lead pyrophosphate? With time, will you get different extractable levels? And how do you know how much time to wait before you do these extractions?
There are many contradictory studies that would tell you different things about that. Some would say that the formation is almost immediate, and that it's very long-lasting and resistant to different weathering conditions. Others would say that plant roots are able to break apart a pyromorphite compound and scavenge that phosphorus, and so that bond isn't very resistant. So my real answer is I'm not sure. It definitely depends on your phosphorus source and the lead you're working with. If you have an insoluble, for example, if you're applying fishbone meal as your phosphorus source and you're working with galena, a lead sulfide, as your lead source, neither of those are soluble and available for recombination. So that would take a long time. If it was lead carbonate and phosphoric acid, I imagine that would be quicker.
Can I add a comment on this? I think it depends on soil chemistry.
Thank you.